Well, the weekend played host to round two of the AFLW season, and after a disappointing season opening loss to Collingwood, Carlton bounced back to knock over the Cats, and a big reason for that was the contribution of the Blues skipper, Kerryn Harrington. Kerryn, welcome to SEN, and thanks a lot for your time.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
So a round one loss, after all the build-up, I'd imagine, is a pretty tough pill to swallow, but this was a nice little entry to the winners list at the weekend.
Yeah, look, it certainly was. It was pretty deflating, as you mentioned. You know, pretty big build up to round one. Obviously, it's been quite a long preseason for us that was extended as well. So, yeah, we had a point to prove for sure coming out against the Cats. Pretty strange preparation, obviously, yeah. Having a game change of venue and, you know, opponent and those sort of things on a Thursday night before a Saturday game. So I was pretty proud of the way that the group was able just to, I guess, roll with the punches and be able to produce the performance that we did on the weekend.
What's been the focus? What are the things you've focused on mostly over the summer? You've already touched on the fact it's been a very strange preparation and the season will continue to throw things at you. Has that been the focus, just the ability to just adapt and attack what's put in front of you? What was your main focus across the summer period or across the pre-season period leading into the season?
For the last probably 2-3 seasons, it's been having... I guess the resilience and the agility just to be able to change, with whatever's, thrown in front of us. And the weekend example was a pretty good one of that. I think that the group's done a really great job. I think if that had happened 2 or 3 years ago, it really would have thrown us. But I think just the way that the world is at the moment, you just got to be ready to adapt and do the best that you possibly can. From a football sense, the thing that we worked on probably the most was, being able to not rely on probably long down the line kicks and play the territory game that perhaps the AFLW had probably fallen into the last few years. And we've seen, the way that a lot of teams are playing, it's trying to hit the short 45 kicks and own possession, particularly across the back half, and then being able to, slingshot in forward half and give our forwards the best chance. So that was probably something that we saw come, to fruition over the weekend, probably better than what we did, or certainly what we were able to do in round one.
We're speaking to Carlton AFLW skipper Kerryn Harrington for MEGT. You can start building a great career innings today at MEGT. So, Kerryn, take us inside the build-up to the game at the weekend. You were supposed to take on the Brisbane Lions, of course. They couldn't field a team. The Western Bulldogs couldn't field a team as well. So you find out almost at the last minute, really, that you're heading on down to Geelong to take on the Cats. So how was that information relayed to you and how did the girls adapt?
As I said, it was a pretty strange week. The way that we managed to structure the week actually worked in our favour a little bit in that, we obviously did our review from the Collingwood game on the Monday night at the recovery session. We roll into Tuesday night where we tend to focus on ourselves and things that we need to work on coming into the game, and then Thursday night is what we tend to focus on the opposition and what they like to do and it goes how we're going to stop, what their strengths are. So I got a phone call at around about 3 o'clock on Thursday from Brett Munro, who's our general manager of football, and we were chatting about a few things, and he said, "Oh, by the way, we're not going to Brisbane anymore. We're going down the highway to Geelong." So and then training starts at 5. So the shift in mindset happened pretty quickly. The rest of the playing group found out not too long after that. Massive.
Have you had a look?
Credit to our. Sorry, go on.
No, you're right. Keep going.
Oh, I was just going to say massive credit to our sports science and our video guys. They managed to put together some highlights and some package of vision for Geelong, so we were able to work through it pretty quickly.
Now speak to us about, are you someone who looks around the league a lot? Do you watch a lot of other footy? Have you seen some teams that have caught your eye and impressed you, or are you very much just worried about what Carlton are up to as captain? How do you attack a season of footy?
It's sort of up and down, to be honest. I think the weekend that we lost last weekend, I didn't want to watch too much footy, so I didn't pay too much attention, but you start to feel pretty good about, where your team's at and you want to start to have a look around. So I watched a couple of games yesterday. Probably Melbourne and Adelaide at the moment are setting the benchmark, and hard to look past Collingwood as well with the form that they're in. So, it's shaping up to be a pretty good season, I think.
To state the obvious, Kerryn, ball use is just so important, and you've gone at 100% efficiency by foot from your 23 touches at the weekend. So you did not waste a single kick. You'd be pretty happy with that.
I think if I could go for 100% for the rest of my career, I'd be pretty happy, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, it's, as a defender, particularly as a key defender, my focus tends to not be too much how I use the ball, but, you know, just trying to stop opponents, to be fair. But yeah, look, I mean, it's a, it's something that I'm pretty happy with, to be honest, that you're not wasting possession coming out of your back half.
Does Andy Maher help or hinder the Carlton AFLW team?
Geez, I get asked this question a lot. nah, he's definitely very helpful. Obviously, he's a bit of a Carlton nuffy. So, you know, the passion that he's got and the enthusiasm that he brings to our group is awesome. And nah, he's absolutely, you'd be hard pressed to find a number one AFLW supporter, you know, besides himself. So, yeah. No, he's definitely very helpful.
And, Karen, I heard your coach, Daniel Harford, speaking about this, the adjustment from the round one defeat to the round two victory. And I think he was saying you're pretty stagnant in round one. There probably wasn't enough there and run with the ball in hand. And you might have even overcorrected for a time against the Cats. All about finding that sweet spot, isn't it, when it comes to knowing when to go and knowing when to hold it.
Yeah, absolutely right. I think what I'd take away from that is that our group's pretty literal in that, you know, we were showing a lot of vision of us being quite stagnant and not having a lot of movement. And, you know, we put a lot of that down to, you know, to the pressure that Collingwood put us under last week. And yeah, probably has been an overcorrection this week. We probably did overuse the handball, you know, particularly through the middle half of the ground. But, you know, with a young group, you know, we're learning. We're learning, you know, obviously each day that we go to training and work together. And, you know, we're going to take a lot out of the weekend. And, yeah, I mean, obviously trying to find that sweet spot coming into round three next week against the Dogs is going to be pretty important.
Karen, I'm interested in when I was in Adelaide and speaking to a lot of the players there on the AFLW squad, a lot of, you know, there was so much, it was still a novelty, the AFLW competition, and the players were just still so excited about playing. Is it reached the point where it's not necessarily a job or a chore, but is it at that point now where it's like, it's completely business? We still have the, you know, we play with joy and we play with flair and we love the game, but it's not so much that unbridled excitement now. It's like we're nailing in, this is what we do, we're pros and we really go after our business from week to week.
Yeah, like I think it has reached that tipping point. Probably, you know, probably reached that point maybe 18 months ago, I think. And the reason being is that, you know, I guess at each season the expectation on the players, you know, continues to grow as it should. You know, towards a professional, you know, a fully professional league. The challenge for the players ongoing, and it becomes harder and harder every year, is, you know, I guess the balance between having, you know, work and a professional job outside of football and trying to you know, reach the commitments and the expectations that the football world holds. So, look, to be quite honest with you, the players are squeezed to the absolute max at the moment. Yeah. And I guess every year we say it gets harder and harder, but, you know, that tipping point is very, very close, where we're already seeing players having to choose between their careers and playing football. And, you know, I guess that kind of lends to what you were saying about it, the joy in playing football and the novelty of football. I don't think will ever wear off. And I'm sure that if you ask, you know, a group of men's players, that they would feel the same. But, yeah, certainly, you know, as we get closer and closer towards that that professional or fully professional sport, you know, I guess, you know, well, I mean, the playing group is already, you know, we're already training like we're fully professional. You know, we spend probably close to, you know, somewhere between 20 and 25 hours a week. So, you know, we're not far off that. The difference between, I guess, us and the male group at the moment is that, you know, we're having to work somewhere between probably 30 and 40 hours outside of that as well, just to maintain our life. So, it's certainly a challenge. It doesn't take away from the joy in playing football, but it certainly does make it a bit of a challenge. And it's difficult, like, and particularly, obviously, with the times at the moment, you know, with things chopping and changing. Thankfully, you know, the Brisbane trip didn't really, or the lack of the Brisbane trip didn't really throw us that much. But, you know, I wouldn't like to be one of the teams at the moment who has to try and make up a game midweek around our work schedules as well.
How many, if any, are able to, or at the point in their careers where they can actually, or they are actually fully focused and professional football players and not having to sort of supplement their income or supplement, you know, different things with work or study?
I can only speak for my list. So we've got 30 players on our list, and I don't think we've got one player. In fact, I know we don't have one player on our list that doesn't have something else outside of football. So whether it's, yeah, as you said, studying or working as a freelance, you know, person, or, you know, I'm a physiotherapist myself. So I work, you know, close to 20 hours a week as a physiotherapist on top of footy as well.
Oh, Karen, well, your Blues take on the Western Bulldogs in the fifth annual Pride game. It's on this weekend. Of course, the Dogs will be back in action. Get there, show your support at Witten Oval. It's this Sunday, 3:10 p.m. and you can get your tickets at carltonfc.com.au. Karen, we wish you the best of luck and thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Karen Harrington there, Carlton skipper. The Blues are levelling it up at 1-1 there.
It's tough, isn't it?
Really tough when you're juggling that work. Well, and family comes in for a lot of them as well.
Yeah, that's right. But I guess the discussion is the evolution of the league. It'll take time. I guess it was the same. It was the same in the men's competition for a long time, wasn't it? When did the men's competition become fully professional?
Yeah, but
maybe
I don't
early
think they
2000s?
Were. They probably weren't putting in 25 hours a week back then.
No, that's right.
That
that's
was
right.
2 days a week, 6 o'clock at night.
The tough aspect for the girls that the men didn't have is, yeah, you're right. They're actually training in a professional manner as well. So, yeah, it's a big ask for the girls, but they're doing a very good job thus far.
Transitioning from school to the workforce, open your innings with MEGT and earn money while you learn new skills.